You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Hey, I wanted to let everybody know that we've got a poll going on over at our Twitter page asking you how many wins you think the Orioles are going to have in 2018. Just head on over to @LockedOnOrioles and vote. And while you're there, please follow us. I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to vote because I really don't know what to make of this team. But I do know one thing. We are less than 1 week away from opening day, and I'm very excited about the prospect of actual live baseball. We found out yesterday that Dylan Bundy is going to get the ball for the O's on opening day against the Twins at Camden Yards. And I think that's the right choice. This is going to be a really interesting year for Bundy, and I'm really excited to see what kind of pitcher he can become. And I want to let you guys know that we have a bunch of exciting shows lined up for next week leading up to opening day. We're going to preview the AL East. We're going to take a look at the Twins, who are the Orioles' opening day opponents. And next Friday morning, we'll have a show looking back at and analyzing everything that happens for the Orioles on opening day. And I don't want to give anything away, but I want to let you guys know that we have a really fun show lined up for Monday as well. So please check that out. Today's episode is also going to be a fun one. We talked to John McGee, who's the co-host of the podcast Bat Flips and Nerds. Bat Flips and Nerds looks at baseball from a British perspective. John is a British Red Sox fan. So you may be asking yourself, why do we have him on an Orioles podcast? It's a pretty funny story, which he'll explain in the interview. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to remind everybody that you can find Locked On Orioles on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, and on Stitcher. So whichever one of those is your podcast app of choice, please go and subscribe, leave a rating and review and all that kind of stuff. It all helps us build our audience. We also have a website, LockedOnOrioles.com, so please check that out. And a reminder, if you are interested in advertising on Locked On Orioles or any of the Locked On MLB podcasts, please contact us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com. And just a reminder, please go to Locked On Orioles on Twitter and vote on our poll about how many wins the Orioles are going to have in 2018. Okay, let's get on to our interview with John McGee. I promise you, you're going to find this really entertaining. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by John McGee. He is a co-host of the Bat Flips and Nerds podcast, which is a really fun podcast that talks about baseball from a British perspective. It's really interesting to listen to it, to hear about people who follow baseball but don't live in the United States. So, John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Really a pleasure to be talking to you again.
Yeah, I was a guest one time on Bat Flips and Nerds, and so you know that it's maybe that's a strike against it, but usually it's better than that. Usually they have better guests than me. So, John, the reason I wanted to have you on Locked On Orioles was because you have committed to make sure I get this straight. You've committed to watching all 162 Orioles games this year. Is that right?
Yes, I have. Whether I do remains to be seen. I think I'm going to be held to it as much as possible by my fellow co-hosts. I'll certainly be watching as many condensed games as I can. I might not be watching them in real time because obviously, us being 5 hours ahead of you, that would deprive me of sleep. And I do have my own teams that I have my own peccadilloes towards. So yeah, as much as I can watch the Orioles this year, I'm going to be joining you as a sort of surrogate Orioles fan, if you will.
Okay, so just explain to people, because I've read some of your stuff in this, but I'm not exactly sure I get all the background here. Why did this happen? How did you get this curse? Because I got to tell you, I'm not going to watch all 162 games this year. I'll tell you that. Why are you committed to this? Why do you have to do it? I guess is the question.
Yeah, I don't think many people are going to watch 162 Orioles games this year. The reason that I have to, it's quite long and convoluted. So if you've read my explanation of it and haven't quite understood, that may well be because I've kind of forgotten myself. It's become a sort of myth in its own right. But to give you my recollection of it, or a potted history, on our podcast, one thing we do every now and again is have silly prop bets with one another. And one of the ones that we did last year was called the Crap Catchers Competition, which in a nutshell came from Tom, one of my co-hosts, is a huge fan of Christian Vasquez. He's a Red Sox fan, as am I. And he basically said that Christian Vasquez is the best catcher in the MLB. And we all said that was nonsense and said that we thought we could pick another sort of replacement level or thereabouts catcher who would be better than Christian Vasquez last season. And the stakes were that the person who picked the best catcher by OPS plus got to choose which team the person who picked the worst catcher would write about for the rest of the following season. So I lost, obviously. My choice was Jet Bandy, the Milwaukee Brewers catcher, who I chose largely because his name sounds like a Star Wars character. So thanks to David Roth from Vice Sports for pointing that out. And yeah, Bandy had a really awful season. He was, by the end of it, the third choice catcher for the Brewers behind Steven Vogt and Manny Pena. But I ended up actually, and Darius picked James McCann from the Detroit Tigers, who massively overperformed and had a really good year. So Darius got to choose me. Yeah, and I ended up losing actually on a technicality because the worst catcher of those that were picked was Tony Walters, the Rockies catcher. But we set a minimum plate appearance threshold of 200, and Tony Walters, despite having a minus OPS plus, actually was injured for a lot of the season and therefore didn't qualify. So I lost through Jet Bandy on a technicality. Darius chose the Orioles because, as I said, I'm a Red Sox fan. I don't have any particular animus towards the Orioles. They're just a team that irritate me. I think throughout the course of the last couple of years on the podcast, whilst we've been doing the podcast, the Orioles' nickname on our podcast is the Zombie-oles, because they're just kind of there. You know, they're like the Walking Dead, that you always think, why are the Orioles still winning games? Because they're not very good, and yet they continue to do it. And they became a bit of an irritant to me. So Darius picked the Orioles for me to follow this year because A, he knew it would annoy me, and B, it looked on paper as though they were going to be pretty wretched.
Right. And I was going to say, there was a period there from, I guess, you know, about the last game of the 2011 season through probably 2016 when the Orioles were pretty routinely beating the Red Sox.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was probably a degree of that in there as well. And I think that was it, essentially. It's like those Red Sox squads that were on paper better than the Orioles just continually losing to a rotation that was made up of bits and pieces. You know, Ubaldo and Chris Tillman, who, you know, has one season on and one season off. It remains to be seen whether he bucks that trend this year and has two seasons off. So there was a degree of that as well. I don't think he thought it would be fun for me as a Red Sox fan to be looking at Manny Machado being excellent and everybody else being a dumpster fire, basically.
Well, one thing I will say, no matter what happens with the Orioles this year, I think they will be more watchable than, you know, say the Marlins or the Rays, because they're at least, if nothing else, they're going to hit a lot of home runs, and they're going to have a lot of home runs hit against them, I think. So you're going to see a lot of long ball watching Orioles games.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, it depends what you like, and luckily I certainly like watching long balls. There's going to be plenty of those, certainly and definitely in the Red Sox matchups, because you know I wouldn't be a Red Sox fan without talking about Mookie Betts in Camden Yards, would I? So there's going to be plenty of those.
Yeah, we prefer not to talk about Mookie at Camden Yards. That's kind of a sore spot. So watching these games, how is this going to manifest itself in terms of your podcast? Are you going to have regular times when you talk about it? I know you've written some articles. You guys have a website as well. So just talk a little bit about how you're going to actually express the pain of watching the Orioles this much.
Yeah, so I've already written a couple of pieces, as you've said. I think it's mostly going to be written. So Tom, who I mentioned earlier, who's the Vasquez fan, he also has a huge soft spot for the San Diego Padres. And he sort of set the template for this last year with a column which he called Tuck in Hell. The joke there being Friar Tuck, a monk, etc., etc. And who would really want to watch last year's San Diego Padres? And to be fair, I think Tom was the only person that did. So I think my coverage of the Orioles is gonna take a similar bent, insofar as it will start off being straight, or as straight as I can make it, and we'll see where it goes. I think the first two have set the bar in terms of where I'm going to go with it. So one of the other guys described it as a bit like reading someone on the verge of a mental breakdown, even just at the start of something. So we'll see where it goes from here. It's mostly going to be that. I, without sort of being too rude to the Orioles, I kind of want them to be naff because it's going to allow me to get creative with it. Really, I want to. I'm going to use it as a test of my writing reflexes to see quite what I can come up with. So yeah, my last column was comparing Andrew Cashner to Sasquatch, specifically Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. So that's probably an indicator of the type of stuff that you're going to get from me over the course of the season, I think.
Yes, I read that one, and I think it was the first Harry and the Hendersons reference I had seen in a while anyway. So people want to read those. Where can they find them?
So the website is batflipsandnerds.com, and the column is it's called Orioles Orifice, because, you know, that's the hole that we're all going to be in together this year, Justin, the Orioles Orifice. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be dirty, but, you know, we'll be in it together, I guess.
Well, it's going to be nasty and brutish, but it may not be short. What are your feelings about the Alex Cobb signing? Is that making you rethink how bad they might be?
Yeah, but it's I nearly used a really uncouth and very typically British phrase about the Alex Cobb signing there. But I'll step away. I'm going to assume that this is PG. Yeah, it's sort of burnishing and putting a bit of polish on a really old pair of shoes, though, in a way, isn't it, really? If you look at the rest of that rotation, I mean, Bundy could be brilliant. He could be absolutely awful. Kevin Gausman, you know, we kind of know what he is now. He's a four. He's a number four, isn't he? Cashner, goodness me. Tillman, I just couldn't believe it when they said. But yeah, Cobb's an elite pitcher. He's a number two in anyone's rotation. But he, you know, he gets injured a lot, doesn't he? I was really surprised at the compensation for it, actually. $60 million in 4 years was way above my expectations when I saw them linked yesterday night. Yeah, it's going to be a pleasure to watch him. He's a really nice pitcher to watch. You know, there are really good pitchers who I find it quite difficult to watch, Jake Arrieta being an obvious one, because it's just thinking, God, is he going to put his shoulder out? But Cobb isn't one of those guys. So, yeah, that makes the Orioles better. I was surprised how much better, looking at some of the Zips and Pecota projections today. I don't think he puts the Orioles into a wild card berth, but, you know, I may be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the conversations I've had on the podcast several times now, and especially the one that I had today about after the Cobb signing, is that I think the Orioles are unlikely to win the second wild card or even really seriously compete for it. The thing that I'm keeping in mind is that second wild card slot is soft. I mean, after the division winners and the Red Sox, I mean, who's really that good in the AL? You know, you got the Twins and the Angels, maybe the Mariners, maybe. But, you know, I don't think anybody is particularly good. The Central looks like it's going to be really bad, other than the Indians. I don't think you could expect much from the Rays. I don't think we know much about the Blue Jays. So it's certainly conceivable if things break right for them and they win, you know, 86 games. You know, it could happen. Stranger things have happened with this team in recent years.
Yeah. So we did our projection. Well, we called it projections, but it was more like predictions. We had a spreadsheet that we were following. It wasn't projections, but we did our predictions last week, and this was obviously before the Cobb signing, but we had the Angels in there. But I think that was more out of hope than knowledge. You know, we feel like it's about time that Mike Trout gets a go around in the playoffs. And if not now, then when? After the, you know, the Kinsler and the Cozart and Otani signings. Yeah, you're not wrong, though. The Orioles could conceivably do it. It would need their bullpen to carry a lot of the weight in the way that it did 2 seasons ago, I think. And with Britain out for a couple of months yet, that looks like a bit of a big ask. Darren O'Day seems to be sadly on the fade because he's a pitcher I really like to watch when he was in his pomp. Givens and Brack are both good. But yeah, when you're going to be getting, you know, 3 and 4 inning starts out of Cashner and Tillman and, you know, Gausman on every fourth turn, it's a big load for those guys to carry, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As I say, I'm not predicting that they're going to win the wild card, but it's not, like I said, it's not inconceivable to me the way that it might be for, say, the Marlins, you know, for a team like that. That's, you know, the Orioles have enough talent, I think, that if things were to break the right way, you know, it's possible. It's certainly a reason to watch them for a while anyway. Not that you need a reason. You're stuck watching them anyway. But
yeah, I've got plenty of reasons thanks to Jet Bandy and Darius Austin and various others.
Well, that is like committing to watch any team like every game. That's a big commitment. I mean, I certainly don't do it. My son, who's 14, he watches. I don't think he watches 162 Orioles games, but he's probably like in the 140 range in a given year, depending on schedule and school and all that stuff. But yeah, that's tough. That's tough to commit to that if you're not getting paid for it. All right, so let's just shift gears here real quick while I have you, and just ask you this: for a lot of my listeners who are in the United States and maybe don't know much about this, now obviously. You're in Great Britain. Baseball is not a major sport there. How did you, let me ask you a two-part question. First of all, how did you become a baseball fan, and how difficult is it to be a baseball fan in a country where it's not at the top of anybody's awareness?
So I've been a fan for about 15 years now. So when I was a student, so about 15 years ago, so aging myself there, there used to be really good coverage of baseball on network TV. So in the UK, it's very different to the States, where you have like five channels on network. And that was about 15 years ago. That was literally all you could get. So they used to show baseball games on the fifth channel, Channel 5, from midnight on a Thursday, a Friday, and a Sunday. And when I was at university, you know, as a lot of students do, I didn't sleep and keep regular hours. And I watched an awful lot of baseball. And so that 2003-2004 run was when the Red Sox, you know, was the fairy tale in 2003 and then in 2004. And I love the game. You know, I'm a huge cricket fan as well. Baseball and cricket have a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. And once I sort of learned the differences between the two sports, I became a huge baseball fan. And I've followed it ever since, sort of on and off. But increasingly, maybe it's something that I've come and gone from, but over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, my fandom's really taken hold again. To answer the second part of your question, it's pretty easy now, to be honest. It's easier than it was 15 years ago. Even, you know, we got three or four games a week there on network television. It's not on network TV now, but MLB TV costs, you know, £110 a season, and we don't have any blackout restrictions. You know, we can watch absolutely any game anytime we want. Some people are crazy and they do watch it during the night. I'm not one of them. Since I've been to university, I realize that I function an awful lot better with when I sleep. So I tend to watch them on catch up. It's an interesting question though. We had a guy on our podcast about a year ago who's he produces radio programs for the BBC, which is the national broadcaster here in the UK. And he's been a Blue Jays fan for about 40 years now. And he was telling us about following the game in the 1980s. So like 30 years ago, not a huge time ago, over in the UK. And the only way that he could learn anything about what the Blue Jays were doing was he lived in London, and he used to go to Paddington Station, which is one of the big terminal stations in London, in first thing in the morning. So half six in the morning, and stand outside WH Smith's, which is a big newsagent chain here in the UK. And pick up a copy of the International Herald Tribune, which is the New York Times, when it's sold over here. That was literally the only way he could learn anything about following the Blue Jays. And that's like 25, 30 years ago. He'd read the box scores in the back of a copy of the New York Times. So things have come on leaps and bounds, really. We're really fortunate. Yeah, you know, people like us are doing things. There's more and more fan events happening around the UK, particularly now that it looks like we might be getting some games over here in the near future. So yeah, the community's buzzing at the moment, but it hasn't necessarily been like that for, you know, maybe 10 years or so.
Yeah, it is remarkable just how the internet and just the digital world has made the world so much smaller in so many ways. I remember even when I was a kid in the, you know, late 70s and early 80s, I never lived in Baltimore. I was an Orioles fan in Rochester, New York. And so we didn't get the Orioles games on TV or radio. I had to, at night, I could sometimes get the games on WTOP, the radio station out of Washington that carried their games at the time, because, you know, obviously the Nationals didn't exist then. And but that was, you know, I'd have to get in my dad's car late at night and kind of said sometimes you would get it, sometimes you wouldn't. And that's just within the United States trying to cover a team from, you know, trying to follow a team from far away. So I can imagine in a different country it was a whole other thing. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but just one thing real quick. You mentioned it looks like maybe the Red Sox and Yankees are going to be going to the UK to play some games. Is that right?
Yeah, well, according to Bloomberg, if you believe their sources, so we have a really good relationship with the office, the MLB office here in the UK, because it's quite a small community. I mean, they're only a small office too at the moment. There's three of them, but they're increasing the size of that office from 3 to 10, and read into that what you will, Justin. I couldn't possibly say. So this report has come out from Bloomberg on Monday that it looks like the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to play two games in London next year in the Olympic Stadium, that now called the London Stadium, which is now the home of West Ham Football Club. So yeah, that's really exciting. It's awesome. I think there's quite a lot of skepticism about whether it'll happen. Well, touch wood, it will. It'll be a huge shot in the arm. I know the UK baseball community was sorely disappointed that they missed out on baseball in the Olympics. So it didn't happen in London and it didn't happen in Rio. It's been reinstated in Japan at the discretion of the Japanese Olympic Authority, probably because they'll win a gold medal in it. But this is going to make up for that and some, one would expect. We have a good relationship with the MLB office. So Charlie Hill, who runs that office, was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, which I think some of your listeners would enjoy listening to that. Sounds like they've got some big plans if this happens. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening in the next year for us, which is excellent. Probably best for me that none of it's going to do with the Orioles, because I think I'm going to have more than my fill of that over the course of the next 12 months.
Yeah, I think if they sent the Orioles over there, it might cause an international incident of some sort. I think that would be kind of unfair. It was interesting, though, that it would be the Yankees and the Red Sox, because obviously you're getting kind of an A matchup there. You know, they're not sending you the B squad there. They're sending you the number one rivalry in the sport and the teams that are probably of the most interest, I would think.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had NFL games here in the UK for about 10 years now. So I don't live in London. I did for 9 years. I left there a year ago. And the atmosphere in London when we had those NFL games was just stupendous. I'm not even a huge gridiron fan, but I sort of went along with the spirit of it. It took over the whole city, and it was fantastic. I went to a few of the games they held at Wembley. But they were B squads. You're right. You know, it was the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars every year, who, you know, have been a good side this year, but they haven't always been. Yeah. I have mixed feelings on Yankees and Red Sox. I kind of feel like they really need it to be a huge success, because if it's not, then it'll never happen again. And, you know, as a fan who's been following the sport for, you know, a pretty considerable time, as things go, I've been waiting a while for this to happen, and I don't want it to just happen once, but I'm sure it'll be good. Yeah. Yankees and Red Sox, they're going to sell a lot more hats than you already have seen. Cause, I'll be honest with you, you don't see an awful lot of Orioles hats on the streets of London or Manchester or Glasgow or wherever.
Well, we'll have to send you one so you can wear it proudly this season and represent the orange and black to the people in the United Kingdom.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can if you want, but I'm not going to promise to wear it, because and this is another trope of our podcast, it's not just that I don't want to wear it, I have a notoriously small head and hats make me look stupid. So I can maybe have it. Whether it'll ever make it onto my head will remain to be seen. Tom would certainly have it. He'll wear any baseball cap, that boy.
You know, maybe a t-shirt would be better.
Sure, yeah, t-shirt I can do.
All right, so again, if people want to find the podcast, it's called Bat Flips and Nerds. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, and I guess you can find it pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, right?
Yeah, the usual places. Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio is our platform, so you can find it there. You can find most episodes on our website, which is batflipsandnerds.com.
Okay, and quickly tell people where they can find you on Twitter.
So yeah, we're on Twitter at batflips_nerds, and you can find my Twitter handle there in our profile. I won't spell it out for you because it's a bit of a weird one. It's actually the French word for scarecrow, if people are wondering what it means.
Well, I think that's the first time we've discussed the French word for scarecrow on this podcast, so there's always a first time for everything. All right, yeah. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with your endeavor watching the Orioles this season. And we'd love to have you back on periodically throughout the season to see how it's going.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd love to say I can't wait to do it, but I'd be lying.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how they actually do this year. Maybe it'll be a better team than you're expecting.
Well, I hope so.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Justin.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.